Right. This morning, we're going to look at three consequences. Three consequences as a result of Scripture. And I've got three Scripture passages that have meant something to me. And they do join together. So bear with me. And the three passages of Scripture, they relate to Jesus and what he has done and what he is doing for us. Now, the first Scripture is the consequence of disobedience, which comes from Genesis chapter 2. Now, remember these. Go back and read the passages before and after so you get the whole thing about it. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. It's dealing with Adam and Eve and the two trees and the consequential result of disobedience. The second consequence is of obedience, which comes from 1 Corinthians 15, 45 to 47. And in those verses, there are two titles about Jesus: the last Adam and the second man. And the third consequence is a consequence of following. And that comes from our morning's reading from John chapter 15, 1 to 8, about the true vine. He is the vine, we are the branches. So, let's go back and look at the consequence of disobedience. Now, Paul, when he wrote Romans, in chapter 5, he taught us about the result of Adam's disobedience. And he says in verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, for before the law was given, sin was in the world. Before the law was given, sin was in the world, and how was it proved? Man died, physically died. And verse 18 says this: consequently, just as a result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. Disobedience, sin entered, men, and I've got to say mankind here, so you ladies won't feel out of it, if you get my meaning. Man was constituted sinner. No life in you. And the law came in later, in verse 20, it says to reveal the state of sin. Now, Christ's one righteous act of obedience brought abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness with life. Do you realize now that man is now given another free choice? Christ or not? Adam was given the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We are now given Christ or not? So we need to quickly look at the two trees. The two trees in Genesis chapter 2. Now, the tree of knowledge of good and evil represents natural growth, self-growth. It's how you work out your own life. It brings decay. Mankind is living by its wits. And look where it's got him. Look at the pain and the suffering. Man's inhumanity to man. The results of rejecting God's directives. The tree of life, it's God's life and his life. And the tree teaches mankind the way to live. It is the eternal, sovereign God who shows us how to live. He has all knowledge. He has all power. He's ever present. He's self-existent. He's transcendent. He's everlasting. He's holy. He's love. He's full of wisdom. That really poses us a question, doesn't it? What was God's original purpose for humanity? One, to enjoy God, the divine, the eternal one, to worship him. God is spirit, and he seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth, to live in God's glory and not to fall short of it. Secondly, he wanted to have a people for himself. He created the world and the universe. He created the earth with the land, water, air, containing amphibious creatures, land animals, edible flora and fauna, and birds. He created man. He created a place for him. He created a partner for him. And both of them dwelt in that same place and had fellowship with God. They walked with their Creator. They also had a free will to choose which way to go, to follow after obedience or self-will. The choice of all the trees in the garden were given them, including the tree of life. Remember, God said you can eat any tree, including the tree of life. However, he put one stipulation, and they were forbidden to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If they did, they would die. Opposite to that, partake of the tree of life, and you live forever. God wants people to live forever. When they disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit, they died spiritually without God in their lives. They became dead, and yet, though alive physically, produced only dead works. And it's the same with mankind today. Look at what happened to Adam and Eve concerning the garden. And this is in Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. And it's basically this. Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden, lest they also take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. If they had partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and partaken of the tree of life, they would have lived forever with the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord doesn't want that. They were sent out, and the garden was guarded by an angel with a flaming sword to protect the way to the tree of life. And to me, and I think it'd be to you, it shows that the self-life, the natural life, the life derived from knowledge of good and evil, cannot in any shape or form take on the life of God. You cannot come to God with your natural life. Paul in Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3 reveals this. For as you were dead in your trespasses. You know, this is it. You keep remembering the King James. The modern version has got transgressions, but I remember it's trespasses. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Consequences of disobedience. What about the consequence of obedience? As I said, in 1 Corinthians 15, there are these verses, 45 to 47, which bring out the two titles of Jesus. The last Adam and the second man. And the scripture says, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So, God cannot and will not permit the self-life to live forever. It has to die. Our natural lives have to die. Jesus is the way back to the tree of life. That which is holy cannot inhabit that which is unclean. And you can see this in the ministry of Jesus. Look at the times when he was preaching and spirits would cry out and say, we know who you are, you're the Holy One. And he would deliver people from unclean spirits. And also look at the fact that our sins have been dealt with by Christ. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it's saying, really, that he tasted death for us all. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all died. He shed his blood for us. And it is the blood that deals with our sins. And also scripture teaches that our bodies will take on immortality. We know that. When we come to the Lord and we find salvation, then not only are our sins dealt with, but we know that we have eternal life and we will put on immortality. We're promised that in 1 Corinthians 15. But also, he touches our souls. Our thought, our feeling, will and consciousness. Our souls. But that has to die and be made anew. Our souls have to die and be made anew. And Romans 12, 1 to 3 brings this out. And he says this, be not conformed to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind thinking. In other words, it is your soul. It is your thoughts, your feeling, your will, your conscience. And it's saying that you need to be transformed. And that word transformed is metamorphos. It's a complete change. And it's always used, you always use this description to describe this metamorphosis. It's like a caterpillar. And when I think of a caterpillar, I think of one of the ones I remember when I was in my knee-high to a grasshopper. One of these yellow-black ones that would walk, would crawl all over the one of the plants that's very dangerous to horses. And it only produces a little moth. But when it pupates, it changes completely, utterly, completely from a caterpillar into a butterfly or a moth. And Paul is saying here, you need to metamorphose your soul. It's got to change. And God has made that way back to himself through Jesus. Not only through the blood of the cross, but through the death of the cross. The blood deals with our sins and separation from God. And the death of Christ, the work of the cross, deals with our natural lives. Everything that is associated with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has to die and be replaced by the tree of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are you a new creation? Have the old things passed away? That is why Jesus says to follow him, we have to take up our cross daily. If we lose our life, we will gain it. If we desire to gain our life, we will lose it. So how has God achieved this, bringing so many people into his glory? How can we lose our lives? Well, it's all dealing with the two names of Christ. Jesus Christ is the representative man in the place of Adam. Adam represented mankind, but now Jesus represents man in his place. Jesus is the last Adam. The last Adam. He is the last race. Jesus is the summation of all that mankind is. God has summed up humanity in Christ, everything. And it died with Christ when he was on that cross. God has dealt with all that is wrong with mankind in Christ's death. And has placed, I believe, all mankind in Christ. Because Christ was crucified from the foundation of the world. And mankind is included in Christ with the potential of finding eternal life if people accept it. And when I thought about this, I thought, no wonder the wrath of God comes on people who do not believe in Christ, because God has done the work. He's done it in Christ. And Christ is the second man. He's the new race who man can follow and have eternal life. Mankind stemmed from Adam, but now mankind can stem from Christ, and we have to choose again. We have to choose either to live by our self-will without God and remain dead, or live by Christ and be alive for all eternity. Remember the famous scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that as many as believed on him, to them gave he the power to be the sons of God." Will you be obedient and follow the tree of life? Or are you going to reject God's life and follow the tree of knowledge of good and evil? We have to seriously think about our lives and let the Lord reveal to us his will concerning our lives, what he wants us to do. Are we going to think, oh, I will do this, I will do that, I'm reminded of a scripture where, I'm sure it's going to be Paul that's written about it, talking about people say, oh, we'll go out and we'll buy shoes and we'll sell them and we'll do this. And he's saying, no, we'll do it when the Lord says what we're to do. What we do is the Lord's hand on it. Saying, this is the way that I want you to go. Or are you saying, oh, I can do this thing, I can do that thing. We need to have the life of the tree of life in us. And then we'll see results. The final consequence, the consequence of acceptance. So how are we to live by Christ? Well, our scripture reading this morning says, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, the Father is the gardener. It talks about the branches, you know, remaining in Christ. But when a branch is grafted into a vine root, it is the sap from that root that works through the branches to produce the grapes. And if we are grafted into Christ, then are we going to let his sap come through our branches? Because if his sap comes through our branches, then we are going to produce fruit for God, and God will gradually prune that fruit till we produce exactly what the Father wants. Do you want his life flowing through you? Because Hebrews 13, 20 to 21 says this. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good will to do his work. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. God wants to make each one of us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Do you want God to work? It's promised here. He wants to work through you. He wants to work. And we just need to yield to him. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge. Do you want the tree of life? Or do you want to keep on living by the knowledge of good and evil? Because it won't produce anything. Do you want to find Jesus? And recognize him and know him, that he is the last Adam. He has dealt with everything. He's the second man. He is that tree in the garden. Do you want his life flowing through you, the sap flowing through you? Remember this, just to close. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus died for all mankind. He died for each one of you. He shed his blood. He was rejected of the Father because of all our sins. His death has dealt with everything that is wrong. He rose again. He ascended. And glory be to the Father, one day he's coming back again. And if we're still here when he comes back again, if we know Christ, we'll go to be with him. But if not, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then the wrath of God is going to fall on you because he has done so much through Christ. So will you obey the word? Will you listen to his scripture, his word, and follow him? Because our last hymn says, if we could just have the first verse up as well, please. Because it is when we walk with the Lord, trust and obey. The lovely hymn, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, with all who trust and obey. Will you walk with the Lord in the light of his word? Will you let his word work in you this morning? So, let's conclude by singing this hymn this morning. So, thanks very much. Let's have the music up and we'll stand and sing.